How many of us have a cell phone? Do all of us have a cell phone? Question number two. Do you have a case for your cell phone? Now, how many of us, through hard lessons, have realized there are different types of cases? There's cases that work not so good, and then there's cases that cover the glass on the front a little bit better, and then they even have protective screens you can put on there. But how many of us have realized that having a case for these little wonderful devices that we call cell phones kind of important? Now, you can purchase insurance. I think Verizon's like $50 a month for insurance, so that if something happens, you still got to pay deductible, but at least a portion of it is covered. Or you go to, they have all these stores that have popped up everywhere, iFixit, where you take it in. If you get a damaged screen or battery, you can pay to fix our phones. What would happen? We damage our cell phones without the loss of communication. How important is it to keep the way that we communicate today well protected, well guarded? And so as we start our text this morning, we're going to go to Matthew 14, keeping in the back of our mind how important it is to have a phone case for these very smart, intelligent, complex, but also, lastly, very delicate. How many of us know that cell phones can be damaged really easy? So no matter how smart, no matter how intelligent this thing is, it's also very delicate. Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat, cross the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Immediately reached out and he grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they've crossed the lake, they landed. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly through the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick just even get close to touch the fringe, a piece of his robe, and all who touched Jesus' robe were healed. Were healed. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're healed this morning. You're healed." So this story, I don't know if you've ever had kind of a long day. Jesus, in the setting of this text, had a really long day. He had a half-cousin. His half-cousin was named John. And John, unfortunately, was beheaded. And if you know the full story of John the Baptist, but he was a man who was born to prepare the way for Jesus. He was a man who had special clothing and a special lifestyle where he baptized and he told people, "Repent, turn of your sins," because he was preparing hearts so that they could receive Jesus. Well, one day there was this guy who decided he wanted to take his brother's wife. Even though he was married and all this stuff, this guy decided to take his brother's wife. And so John the Baptist told the guy, "Hey, you're going to pay for that, buddy. You're going to pay." And because he said that, this man had John the Baptist arrested in prison. It says that even this king loved to go down and talk to John and hear John talk about the Bible, because John would preach the word, and it interested this man, this king. But one day, this man threw a party, and his new wife that he stole from his brother, such a wonderful guy, throws a party, and his new lady's daughter is there, and she's entertaining, and she's dancing around. And the king was so impressed with this dance of this little young lady. He says, "There, anything you want, I'll give you. Up to half of the kingdom." And so she goes out and talks to the mom, and the mom says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." And so she goes back in and tells the king, and because even though he liked John the Baptist, he had him beheaded, because in front of his guests, he promised that he would give this young lady whatever she asked for. Jesus, knowing, obviously he's God, but knowing that his half-cousin was beheaded, he was going to retreat. And so him and the disciples set out to go and get away and just get some fresh air. But as they're on their way, they had 12,000 people following them. 12,000 people. And so Jesus, he stopped. Even though he wanted to get away and he wanted a break, he stopped and he looks at the people, and it says that he had compassion on them, because he saw, he knew, he felt in his spirit there was many sick people, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And so Jesus spent the day healing thousands of people. And at the end of the day, he turns to the disciples and says, "You know what? Let's send these people away. They need to get home. It's late." And they said, they're hungry. How are they gonna walk? They've had no food to give them strength." And so they take 5 loaves and 2 fish and they feed 12,000 people. And so as soon as Jesus kind of remember his day, he's had a long day, hears his half cousin was beheaded, he was gonna get away from the day and just relax and get his mind together, had to stop, had to help 12,000 people, healed thousands of people, and then he fed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Probably a long, long day. And then he tells the disciples, "You know what? You go on ahead. I want you to go ahead. I want you to get in the boat and go to the other side. I'm going to send these people home." And then he decides, "I'm going to go up in the mountain and I'm going to pray." And so Jesus spends the night praying. It says from night until 3 a.m, he is praying. Jesus, we know that Jesus is considered what? The Son of God. Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, God's one and only Son. All the things and all the names that we know that are described in Jesus. After a long day, what did he decide to do? Did he get a nap? No. Did he go for a vacation? No. He wanted to make room in his life to stop and to pray. To make room. Have we ever bought something in our closet and we didn't exactly have enough room in our closet, or something in our room or in our house? How many of us have had to make room in our closet for 4 new outfits? How many of us have had to make room for new shoes? How many of us have had to make room for new tools coming in? Hallelujah. How many of us have ever had to make room for one thing because we got something new and we needed to put it amongst other things that we had? Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he still made room and made time for his heavenly Father, because he knew where his strength came from. And he spent the night praying and getting filled up with gas. Many of us realize that when our car runs out of gas, we're not going to get too far. If you were having an electric car, you got to charge it. Without electricity, without gas, we ain't getting nowhere. But how many of us Christians today are trying to survive in life without the strength and the power of our Heavenly Father? Jesus, the Son of God, after hearing his half-cousin was beheaded, after spending the day ministering to people, I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure he was wiped out. But what did he do? He still made time for his Heavenly Father. Make time. And how much time do we make to be filled and fueled by our Heavenly Father? How much time do we set aside each day? God, I'm giving you. I'm starting the day with you. God, I'm ending the day with you. God, I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to start with praying. I'm going to start with reading to make room. We know that in life we have to make room for friends. If you have friends, if you have a spouse, if you have a job, we learn to make adjustments every single day in life, physically, that we see. question is spiritually, how are we doing with making room for our Heavenly Father every single day? And so Jesus, after praying all night, 3 a.m., seems like a good time to stop. The disciples, on the other hand, as Jesus was praying, the disciples were just going from one part of the lake to the other side of the lake. But unfortunately, interesting, now listen, unfortunately, the farther they got away from Jesus, what happened? They ran into difficulty. The disciples, the farther they got away from God, the farther they got away from Jesus, even though Jesus said, listen, you're going to start here, I want you to go to the other side, the farther they got, the farther they tried, the more wind, the more waves that prevented them from getting to where they needed to go. Understanding number one and number two in the beginning of this text go hand in hand. Jesus prayed all night because he needed to be filled by his Heavenly Father. The disciples, on the other hand, they were learning, the farther that I get away from God, the more problems are going to exist. The farther that I am, the longer the time that I spend away from my Heavenly Father, the wind, the waves, the life, the distractions, they're just continue to grow even stronger. Hand in hand. There's only so much time. How many of us, for me, I usually get up at 4:30 in the morning, and then I close my eyes about 9 o'clock at night, and there's a lot of things that happen in my life every single day. And I can imagine every one of us here, we all have stories, we all have lives that we live, we all have most jobs and tasks and things and chores that have to get done every single day. But as we see this text this morning, understand that there was a great miracle that happened. There was a man who walked on water. We knew that the Son of God, he was fully God and he was fully man, and he could do whatever he wanted to do. We understand that Jesus, when he began his ministry, we understand that Jesus, one of the very first things that he did is he got baptized. He got baptized by his half-cousin. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And so Jesus went under the water, and as Jesus was being baptized, even though he was fully God, fully man, he still was baptized, and he goes underwater, and he's beginning his public ministry. The Holy Spirit says, as he comes up out of the water, a dove, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, comes and rests on his shoulders, and God says out loud for people to hear, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus, who went under the water, a sign of, I'm giving wholly, fully my life for the will, not just to believe in God, but I'm giving my life fully for the purpose of God, to follow God. Jesus baptized, but now Jesus is in a different situation with water, because now he's displaying a different kind of power. He's walking on the water. This is a great miracle, and our minds can't comprehend how Jesus walked on water. But even more than Jesus, because we know he's the Son of God, Peter is a man who walked on water. A miracle, something that no way could we imagine, even in ourselves. Even in ourselves. This story has so many lovely parts of the story. So many wonderful things in this story. But as we take a look at it, you see there's Jesus and then there's disciples. How many of us know that in life with the disciples, they spent 3.5 years with the Son of God, and they were lucky and they were fortunate to spend 3.5 years with Jesus Christ. For the disciples, How many lessons did they learn every single day? This morning, our tithe and offering verse was called a parable. Turn to your neighbor and say it was a parable. But this text is a life situation that happened. And how many of us understand that the Bible, 66 books, so many different intricate things that are in here. There are so many different stories that speak as they spoke then, they are speaking now, to understand, I need to jump into this story. The disciples were stuck, symbolizing many people in our world today spiritually who are still stuck. Many people who have got to a wall, and spiritually they can't break through. One of the songs I played, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," it's a song, some things that David penned in the Bible as he's describing, God, You're beautiful, God, You're amazing. But one of the things he said in there is what? Renew a spirit within me. He admitted, David King David, one of the greatest kings in the Bible, admitted his faults. He admitted his sins. He asked for forgiveness. But he asked, God, renew the love that I had for you. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Because how many of us seen as human nature being born broken? We hit brick walls where our spiritual growth, it's not moving forward. Just like it described in this story here, you see 12 men who are trying to row as hard as they can, but they can't get to that other side. They cannot get to the point where they need to get. Many people in here, many people watching, many people that we know spiritually, we know there's somewhere over here that God wants me to get to. But I can't. I'm rowing. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to read. I'm trying to pray. Man, I'm trying. But it seems like the wind and the waves are just too tough. Just too tough. Philippians 3:7, Apostle Paul says, I once thought things were valuable, what he learned on this earth. But he says, now I consider them worthless because what Christ has done. Everything to me is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I can just know Jesus Christ. Many of us, we hit wind and waves moment. There are moments and times and distracting things where we just can't break through certain walls. There are mental struggles with anxiety, depression, and just stress. Stress being one of the biggest killers of the world today. In the restaurant business, in politics, and in just everyday life, how many people live with an amount of stress that is just seems bigger than life? At times, there was one big difference in this story to understand. The disciples faced wind and they faced some tough waves. But the minute that Jesus got on the boat, what happened? Everything stopped. And so you rewind and just make the mental note in your mind. Jesus, spending the night praying, tells the disciples to go to the other side. The farther they got away from who? Jesus, what happened? The trouble, the difficulty, what did it do? It increased. And so if we were to just take a spiritual thermometer and stick it in our life this morning, is my life growing? Am I, as a spiritual person who say I believe in Jesus Christ, am I growing and moving in the relationship? How many of us have friends or a spouse, and we know that it takes time and energy to develop and to maintain what? Relationships. So how much time do we take to maintain our relationship with our Heavenly Father? You know, in life, we're always going to have wind and waves. We're always going to have distractions. We're always going to have, what is it? There is an enemy, the devil, the demons that are out to steal, kill, and destroy. We will always have all of the difficulties of life. We're always going to know people who are going through difficult times. We're always going to know people who are sick and hurting. We're always going to have people in our lives who are friends, who are stuck in sin. We always will have wind and wave moments. But no matter how many things that we face in life, one of the biggest and most important questions is, who am I letting on my boat? Because the wind and waves were going to continue to come, but with Jesus on the boat, everything was what? Calm. Is God truly this morning the centerpiece of my life? Is he the centerpiece of my heart, my soul, and everything within me? Because if he is not the centerpiece of my life, then I'm just going to keep on rowing and rowing and rowing and hitting a brick wall, and I can't break through. Jesus said, Matthew 7:24, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, it's wise. You're wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. When the rain comes, torrents, floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it's foolish, like a person who builds a house in the sand. When the rains, the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise, you become wise. Associate with fools, and you get in trouble. There was a big difference in this story with who and who was missing from the boat with the disciples. Yes, Jesus needed to pray. Yes, Jesus needed to get away. But the farther the disciples got away, the more trouble they faced. How many of us are pressing towards the goal? Like Paul says, I press on. I'm pushing towards the goal. I need Christ Jesus. I'm leaving everything behind and I'm chasing after Christ Jesus. I'm going after the prize. I'm going after heaven. I'm going after all that God has for me. Pressing in and pushing spiritually for the very best things that God has for us. So depending on what we have in our life, depending who we allow on our boat, so to speak, of life, depending what Jesus said or who you listen to will determine how the ride will be. If we were this morning to go outside and we each had a motorcycle and we're going to go take a cruise, day like today looks pretty nice, right? Sunshine, it's kind of cool, kind of warm, kind of nice. And would we prefer to go take a ride on a day like today where it looks beautiful out there? But what happened if it's raining? It's dark. Would you want to go out on a motorbike when it's, maybe some of us in here are adventurous, want to go out and go for a cruise. We prefer to ride in the time, in the day when it's nice and smooth. But why is it spiritually, many of us, we struggle spiritually and we want to fight the wind and the waves. Why do we want to fight the wind and the waves? Because we're allowing Jesus to slip from parts of our life. We're allowing the truth of God's word to slip from parts of our life. And so he was on our boat. He was there. He's gone. And now I'm fighting again. And now I'm rowing again. And now I'm not getting anywhere. How many of us in our lives, in our homes, with our friends, know people that just seem to be spinning their wheels, rowing their boat, and not going anywhere at all? Not going anywhere. Not growing. Not expanding. Not pushing through all that God has. You know, after a long time, they see something and it looks like this light bulb walking towards them. And they turn around and they knew in their hearts it was Jesus. They knew something inside of them said that it's Jesus. And so they said, Jesus, is that you? Are you a ghost? Do we run? Do we hide? What do? Jesus says, yes, it's me. Because at some point in our life, how many of us know and we learn that we must redirect ourselves? How many of us have learned in life there's moments where we need to redirect ourselves? We need to stop and say, listen, I'm rowing too hard. How many of us need to sit with a friend and say, you're rowing too hard. You need to be redirected. I need to be redirected in this moment. How many of us are willing to have those conversations and honestly in our life to say, you know what? This part of my life needs to be redirected. It needs to be refocused because it's not centered in the right place. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're surrounded by huge crowds of witnesses to the life of faith, let us take off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. How do we accomplish, the writer of Hebrews, how do we accomplish what God's put us here to do? He says, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And what is Jesus? He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor in the right place. Keeping our eyes on Jesus 24 hours, 7 days a week. How do I continue to move in the right direction of my life? I have to redirect and continually redirect my life to make sure it is pointed in the right place. My vision, my plans, constantly to make sure that Jesus is in the center. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people and he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. Jesus sees Peter and Peter sees Jesus and says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus, if it's you. Jesus, if that's you, Jesus. You know, life presents so many different situations. I hear in relationships, I hear in jobs, I hear in life, many people, I can't tell you how many times I've heard in life, people who get into a bad relationship, but they started with saying, I think God brought this person into my life. And it ended up being a horrible, tragic, gross relationship. Every situation we face, same question that Jesus, that Peter asked Jesus, Jesus, is this you? Reminding us today that there are things, there are situations every single day that arise. Jesus, is this you? Peter, having this big aha moment, he climbs over the boat and he starts to walk on water. Have you ever been in a moment where you felt big? You felt powerful. Wow. Look what I just did. Look what I just accomplished. I have to imagine this moment, Peter, as he's walking on water, he's having a second of, oh my gosh, I don't want this to end. This is so amazing. There are things that God allows us to experience in life that we have this aha kind of moment. And oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so cool. This is so awesome. But then Peter stops. He has 1 second of having an amazing moment. This is a miracle. This is a man who walked on water. Peter having this moment. Peter having a second to walk on the water, to see Jesus walking on water, and to see himself walking on water. And then his 11 friends who are still in the boat, what are they doing? They're watching Peter walk on water, and they're thinking, man, he's crazy. Peter is crazy. But he's the only person listed other than Jesus who ever had the opportunity, willing to take a chance, to be risky in the sight of danger in life, to say, Jesus, if it's you, let me come. Can I come? And Peter steps out and he walks on water. Many things that we begin to understand, how many of us have seen life? It's been called a journey. It's a wonderful journey from A to B. Life is amazing. We were born. We get the opportunity to live. We get to experience so many awesome and amazing things. Life is a journey. And we know, and we realize in a life that life, with it being a journey, depends how we live and what we're doing to get from point A to point B. Peter has an amazing moment in this journey, but he takes his eyes off Jesus, and what happens? He starts to sink. Going from walking on water, on top of the world, I have arrived, I'm walking on water. But the minute he took his eyes off Jesus, he immediately starts to sink. Because he looks around and he sees the wind and he sees the waves. Immediately. And I have to think, and he starts thinking, how am I doing? How am I being a part of this? I'm a human. It's not possible. I'm weak. I can't. I won't. I have so many inadequacies. There's so many things inside of me. How could this even be possible right now? How many of us know that mentally, our mind, it moves so quickly to be part of one great miracle, to be seen walking on water, but the next minute, letting our minds run wild with so many different thoughts. I'm just a human. How is this humanly possible? What is going on here? I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm walking towards Jesus. And soon as the mind is allowed to run wild, what happens to Peter? Next thing you know, he starts to sink. You know, many of us in here, we get in trouble sometimes because of what starts in our brain. The writer, James, you know, says things happen with a little thought. And then we feed that thought. We feed that thought, a little desire. And then that desire, when you allow it to grow, it causes sin, and then it causes us to screw up. We don't realize that it's so easy to allow our mind to run wild. God can give you a major blessing. God can give you a major miracle in your life. And then 1 second later, you can just allow one little thought to come in, one little rock, one little pebble in the pond, and it absolutely just destroys every single blessing that God wanted to give to you, to me. Look, sometimes we look at our past, our failures, our mistakes, our regrets. Sometimes we keep looking back, and for Peter, he's walking on the water. He looks up and he sees the wind. He takes his eyes off Jesus. And just as quickly as the miracle started, the blessing, the miracle, it ended just as fast. If we were honest this morning, how many of us, we want to live a blessed life? We want to see God move. We want to see miracles. We want to see healing. We want to see provision, not only for us, because we're not selfish people. None of us in here are selfish. We want great things for ourselves, but we want it for our families too, and our friends and our community. We want to see great things happen everywhere. This story, this text outlining so many amazing and so many good things to remind us, to teach us every single day to continue to stay on the path of blessing, to continue to stay where God needs us and where he wants us to go. When Peter was at his lowest point in this text, who was there to catch him? Jesus. To remind us every single day that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, to remind ourselves, to remind our kids, to remind our friends, God is the only one who will never leave you and never forsake you. Because how many of us, even though we're good, kind, wonderful people, how many of us have failed one person in our life? How many of us have ever failed a family member? How many of us have ever failed our kids in a certain moment? How many of us have ever failed a friend? We promised, we said we'd do it, we said, but we didn't come through. How many of us have ever let someone down? Jesus, in our heart, mind, and soul, to understand, God, thank you. Just as you saved Peter and reached out and grabbed him from sinking, you save me every single day. You have your hand out, God, to save me every single day, to let me, to let my friends, to let my kids know God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He will not let us drown. The hand is there. Yes, we do have to reach up. Yes, we do have to grab it. And so for Peter in the story, he grabs his hand. And what is the thing that Jesus says to him first? Why did you lose faith? Why did you lose faith? What is faith? What is faith? This belief, this strong belief that I believe in something greater than me. I believe in God. I can't see him. He's invisible. But God, the creator, this faith in God, that he created the universe, that he gives life, that he put the sun, the moon, and the stars. Just like a beautiful painting, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the oceans. I believe in him. I believe that God created us. I believe in the love story that's from the beginning to the end and every single thing in between. It takes faith to believe. Peter lost sight of having faith. He started to sink. And what was the first thing that Jesus said to him? You lost your faith. You know, interestingly enough, Jesus, he was talking about the end times. And he said, horrible things are coming. Horrible times are coming ahead. One of the things that he threw in there was, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will I continue to believe? There are famous philosophers, scientists, doctors, so many people who want to disprove that there's a God, that there's truth. How many of us have to fight through certain battles every single day to stand for the word of God? As we start to kind of pull some thoughts together, the first thing, how many of us have seen, to me, I don't know if you've noticed, but this year, 2024, seems like the fastest year I've ever lived. Man, this year is like gone. Three more weeks, we're in 2025. It's gone. And so as we take this story, as we think about December 24, but January 2025 is what? Just around the corner. There was a man in the story who was willing to take a risk, who was willing to take a chance. His name was Peter because he was risky. Not the risky, but he was risky. Is there anyone in our life that God's saying, I need you to take a little bit more faith in this situation? As this year ends and the next year is about to begin, is there anywhere in our life this morning that God's saying, I want you to step out of this boat and you need to exercise more faith to walk and to see a great miracle? The year is about to end. And understanding, one of the words that I use in the text is that they needed to be redirected of where their sight was going. They were told to get to the other side, but they couldn't get to the other side because they lost sight of the one who guides them, who protects them. His name is Jesus, who's the great shepherd. They lost sight of where they needed to go. They lost sight of how to get there. And so they had to redirect their vision. They had to redirect their sight so that they could get focused in on Jesus once again. Our year is ending. Is there any part of our life God is saying, you need to be redirected? You need to step out in faith. 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 You know, there's a song that says, God is with us. And thank God that He is. God is with us every single day. But the question becomes is, am I with Him? He's with me. He's a gentleman. He's not too pushy. He's sweet. He's kind. He's powerful. He's respectful. And He's with me everywhere I go. But at the same time, doesn't mean that I'm with Him. Am I living my life? Have I lived in 2024 knowing that God's with me, but have I been back with Him? Am I there? Am I walking? Am I talking? Am I growing? Am I making room in my life to spend with God who created and gives me life every single day? To understand in my heart, mind, and soul, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And how many impossible situations have we seen this past year? How many impossible things with ourselves, with our friends, with our family? How many of us have seen miracles in finances and health in our mental capacities this year, knowing that maybe this doesn't seem possible, doesn't seem possible to me, but with God, it is possible. God does the impossible. And in my brain and in my mind and in my emotions, am I allowing the impossible? Do I have the room to allow the impossible to happen in me? Am I giving room to the impossible God to move in me? Just as Peter walked on the water, am I allowing God to walk on water in my life? And I love technology so much. You know, Mark 11:22 says, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus' half-brother, as they were talking amongst themselves, faith. You know, in the old days, the disciples and spiritual men who went before us and ladies sit around talking about faith and what is faith and how great is your faith. James, Jesus' half-brother, says, listen, I don't want to talk about faith. I want to show you my faith. I want to show you. I'm a show you kind of guy. Jesus' half-brother, James, says, don't just tell me you have faith. Show me. Jesus here in Mark 11:22, he says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown in the sea, it will happen. But you must really believe it, and it will happen if you do not doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, gotta love this little nugget at the end. When you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Heavenly Father will forgive your sins too. Jesus describing faith and moving mountains. In 2024, did I move any mountains? Was there any great miracles that happened in me? What happened in you in 2024? Because it's about to close. This chapter of 2024 is about to end. It is about to be over. And a new chapter will begin. John 1:1. In the beginning, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. We have a new chapter of life that's about to begin. There's a new chapter that's about to be written. It's already been written that we're about to see. Is there anywhere in my life God's asking me to step out and be more risky with my faith? Is there anything inside of me that God is saying, I want you to step out of the boat and I want you to take a chance in this area of your life? I want you maybe to be a little more vocal. Maybe I want you to be a little more giving. Maybe I want you to develop more friendships and tell people about the good news. Where is God asking me? Where is he asking us to step out of our boats and step into a place of the miraculous to finish this year and to begin and be ready for what he wants to do in 2025. How is God asking us to end this year? Today is the 8th. We only have a few short days, weeks to end 2024. Is there anybody we need to call and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Maybe I've been ignoring you. Maybe I've not picked up that phone like I should. Is there anybody that we need to call and say, you know what? I really want you to go to heaven, and I don't know if you're going to go. Is there any friend or family member we're saying, we know how sick they are. We know how mentally challenged they are, that God is saying to us, it's time to pick up the phone and do something. How in the next 3 weeks does God want us to end this year, to prepare us? We all know that in a house, it needs a great foundation to what? To be secure. Let's make sure that our foundation for this next year is ready. It's set. My faith is in place. I'm ready to take chances. I'm ready to step out of the boat. I'm ready to see the impossible. I'm ready to see God move. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, fill me with strength. God, empower me. Help me to walk down Florida and pray for every sick person. God, help me to do something that's out of my comfort zone this year. God, help me to do something that maybe makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Helping people, being there for people. Because at the end of the day, how many of us know we only have one life to live? We only have one life to live. In this corner, in this life, in this mountain, at some point it's going to come to a close. And if all we want to do is stay in the boat, if all we want to do, like the 11 other disciples, you know, they got out of their boat moment. All the other 11 men, they gave their life physically for the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there were times of comfort. Yeah, there were times where they didn't do what Peter was willing to do. But every man in the end, they paid with their life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2024 is coming to an end. And 2025 is here. Maybe there's a new foundation that needs to be laid. I need to be a little more risky with my faith. Maybe I need to take a little bit more chances with my faith. And that doesn't mean you take money and go buy lottery tickets. It doesn't mean you go to Saboba and say, I'm going to take my tithe, my money I give to church, and I'm going to the casino, baby. I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to hit it to win it, right? That's not the risky. It's in the Bible. It's not the risky that we're talking about this morning. Where in my life is God asking me to take more chances? Where is God asking me to walk out on a limb that can't hold me up? Where is God? Where is the walk on water moment that God is saying, this is how I want you to end. This is what I want you to do this year. This is how I want you to finish. This is what I'm asking you to change, to step up to the plate and be ready in this moment. And so our first kind of parting, closing thought, our second one is, there's 24 hours in a day, 1,400 minutes roughly, 86,000 seconds. And how much of that time is given to the creator and the sustainer of life? 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. And how much time do I spend with my God? 2 Peter 1:1 says, this is a letter from Simon Peter. I'm a slave and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God's given us everything we need for living a godly life. We receive all of this by coming to know Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3, by God's divine power, he gives us everything we need for living a godly life. We receive this all of this by coming to know one person, Jesus Christ. How do I be more godly? How do I be more kind? How do I be more giving? How do I be more powerful and full of the Spirit to see miracles happen in me and see miracles happen everywhere else? Second Peter, he says, God's powerful power gives us everything that we need simply by what? Knowing Jesus Christ. How do I move and grow and do even greater things in 2025? Because I realized in 2024, how many of us maybe let a lot of things slip by this year? How many of us in 2024 said, there's probably a lot of things I could have done differently this year. I probably could have been a little more loving, sacrificing, giving, serving. Maybe I wasted some time. Maybe I spent a lot of time on myself and not enough time investing in other people. If you were to think about how much time we spend on ourselves every single day, let's be honest, most of us, things that we're interested in, things that we care about, compared to just being willing to give to somebody else. God only has us here for a short time. Every single thing that we need, it comes in the time that we spend with Jesus Christ. And we know that just this text, we know that in life, it's real simple. If I hang out with a fool, what does the Bible say I become? I become a fool. We know in our text, in our story today, the disciples, they fought the wind and the waves because there was one person missing from their group. Who was it? Jesus. Who and what you spend time with will determine what great things you see next year. Who and what you allow in your boat. Who and what we listen to. Who and what we watch. Where our eyes are being stuck in. What are we seeing on our phones? What are we watching in our TVs? What are we watching on the internet? What are we watching through social media? The things and who and what that we spend time with will determine what your next year is going to look like. We have to make room for God. And lastly, getting to my opening about phone cases. Unfortunately, I have to tell you, sometimes for work, I'll stop and I'll park my car. Maybe I'm doing an order. Maybe I'll get out as I'm driving up to Idlewild, and I'll just put the phone on my car. It's happened more than once. Phone's on the car. Get back in the car, drive away. Where's my phone? Come back. Cracked. Smashed. Forgot to put the phone case on. No matter how smart I am, no matter how smart this thing is, no matter how intelligent, no matter how complicated and intricate this thing is, it still needs to be protected. Because at the end of the day, this cell phone, man, they're really delicate. And not to offend anybody this morning, but describing ourselves, we're the same way. We're smart, we're intelligent, we're complicated. Some are more complicated than others. We're not going to point fingers. But let's be honest, we're also delicate. And being delicate, are you putting the correct case on your phone to ensure that nothing cracks, that nothing breaks? Our opening text this morning, John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning. God created everything through Him. Nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life. You know what life right there is? Translated Zoe, Greek for life. God is the giver of life. God is the only one who can give and sustain life. God is the giver of life. And it says that life was given. His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never extinguish it. Are we being fully covered with truth? Have we allowed the truth of God's word to make sure that it's covering every part of our life? Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, and I didn't put it on the screen, if you go to Ephesians 6:10, Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you're able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark place, and against evil spirit in the heavenly places. Put on every piece of God's armor so you can resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be able to stand firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. As Paul said it, as Jesus said it, as we're talking this morning, and as we wrap up and close this morning, God's asking me to finish 2024. He's asking us to be a little more risky in our faith, to begin in 2025 ready for great things. But as we do, to understand that with every, how many of us know that with freedom it comes what? Responsibility. With having a phone and paying for a phone, I can be responsible by taking care of my phone, by keeping it what? Covered. Your life is precious. You're valuable. The past, the present, and the future. It's expensive. Can't put a dollar amount to the life that we've been given. It is precious and it's amazing. And every one of us, we have given the life to live. And just as this phone has a deductible, our life have a deductible this morning, and it takes full coverage to be protected. Am I spending enough time being protected with the word of God and truth so that I don't crack my delicate parts of my life? How many of us know delicate people? How many of us know people that just seem to be broken all the time? Stressed, crying, depressed. Because they're not fully covered. Are you fully covered this morning? But is the truth of God's word fully covering every part of my life? Am I making room for the truth? Let's pray.